Welcome to the Lesbian Book Club with Claire Lydon. Please enjoy the podcast from My Lesbian Radio.
Hello and welcome to episode 54 of the Lesbian Book Club with me, your host, Claire Lydon. This month we have an interview with UK author Jen Matthews, and you're going to hear that interview I did very shortly. But first, let's see what's hot in the UK and US Amazon lesbian fiction charts, as well as finding out what's going on in the world of lesfic and what's going on in the world of me. First up, the Amazon charts, topping the charts in the US as I record this on October the 17th, is Freeing Her by Anna Stone. And this one is the story of forbidden love between a mother and her child's nanny. Anyway, Eve is locked in a custody battle with her ex-husband, and he's not afraid to play dirty in the battle for the kids, so they have to keep their burning desire for each other suppressed and under wraps. Oh, I can feel the tension jumping off the page. Can Eve and Faith stand together and defeat him? It sounds intriguing. It sounds like there's going to be a lot of drama, and that's what every book needs. Also doing well on both sides of the pond is T.B. Markinson with her recent novel Reservations of the Heart. This one is the story of two women not searching for love, but finding it anyway. Isn't that always the way in lesbian romance? This one's got a medical school, an age gap, family secrets, and furtive sex, according to one of the reviews I read. TB reckons in her blurb, it will make your heart sing. And as I co-host another podcast with her, I wouldn't bet against that. And I can't say it doesn't. I have got this book, but I haven't read it yet. But I am very much looking forward to doing so. But TB is a fantastic writer, and this book, I have to say, has been at number one in the US and the UK for about a billion years, so all those people can't be wrong, so give it a go if you haven't already. Also doing well in the US is Melissa Therese's The Heat of Summer, even though it's woefully out of season. Perhaps she's going for the Southern Hemisphere market, I thought. But then I read the blurb, and hang on. One of the main protagonists is called Summer. I see what she did there, eh? Heat of Summer, everyone. So, Summer has her grandparents' inheritance burning a hole in her back pocket, and she hotfoots it from the UK, jumps on a plane to go to Spain to heal and to see where her life should go from here. And she runs to stay in a hotel that is owned by a woman called Prue, who's over 20 years older than her. And ready to find love again. Wouldn't you know it? More age gap, I hear you shout. Yes, it's a very popular trope for a good reason, because people love it. More painful pasts. Yes, more overcoming it all for love. It's what romance is made of, everyone. Also doing well on the US side of the pond is Georgia Beers and her new book, A Walk into Winter. Now, if you don't know already, I love Georgia Beer. She's like the first lesbian romance writer I read, so she'll always have a special place in my heart. And frankly, there's a reason for that. There's a reason that her books still do well and she's still going well. It's because she writes a damn good book. This one is the story of a resort and spa and a battle between two women. One of them has been working away at the spa for years and she feels like she should be the new manager. And the other one has just been dropped into the new manager position because her dad owns the resort and spa. Isn't that always the way? Oh my God, this is like a Christmas movie come to life in book form. So they're workplace enemies, but before they know that, they meet and the spark between them is undeniable. How's it going to work out? I don't know. You'll have to read the book and find out. But it's a romance, so I'm sure there's going to be some snow-flecked kisses very soon. And if you haven't read Georgia Beer's Fresh Tracks, which is a great ensemble piece that takes place between Christmas and New Year, do read that. That's another great festive book from her. Also doing well on the UK side of the pond is my new book, Made in London, London Romance Book 6. Hooray for that! This is the story of Heidi and Eden. Heidi has a child, Eden has a cat. Both are allergic to each other's baggage, but they keep bumping into each other and their spark again is undeniable. And yes, there are pasts with hurt in them, everyone. And yes, can they overcome it all for love? Do we see a pattern? There's also chocolate spread, though, and cute toddlers and cats. And if you like British witty lesbian romance, I am the author, so I'm a little bit biased, but this one is definitely for you. Also doing well on the UK side of the pond is Erica Lee's Anyone But Her, and this one employs the fake girlfriend trope, but not in the normal way, not in the way where one woman has to be the fake girlfriend of another to go to an occasion, be it a wedding or a school reunion or something like that. No, this one is a lesbian pretending to be the fake girlfriend of her gay best friend, Jamie. So the lesbian in question is the impossibly American sounding Reagan Cooper. Has there ever been a more American sounding name than that? I don't think there has in the history of the earth. Anyway, Reagan goes home as the fake girlfriend of her gay best friend, Jamie. But when she gets there, posing with him for his family reunion, she does not expect to be attracted to his sister, Charlie. So Jamie's sister, are you keeping up, is a gay too. And Jamie and Charlie and Reagan have all got gender non-specific names, which makes it all very confusing when you're trying to make sense of a blurb, by the way, Erica. But it does sound like a good one. And so if you haven't read that one, maybe it's worth checking out. And that is the chart roundup for October 2019. Yes, October. It's October 17th as I record this, so it's nearly time to get your loft ladder down or lift up your ottoman bed and get all your Halloween gear out from the loft or under the bed and run around the neighbourhoods scaring your neighbours, frankly. But, you know, I think in America, Halloween is still massive, isn't it? Whereas in the UK, you might get somebody going around trying to throw an egg at you, which I don't recommend, frankly. It wasn't funny when it happened to me when I was about 8, and I still wouldn't find it funny now. But yeah, I just want to say as well that I'm sorry for leaving you a month gap. I've just had a crazy time since we last spoke. So I think August was the Monica McCallan interview, which I hope you enjoyed. September was just a bit bonkers. I was deep in edits for Made in London, which I just brought out yesterday. So I was, yeah, so thick into the edits, and I was trying to get an audiobook out as well. So I just didn't really have time to do this podcast in September. But I've got a few interviews lined up now, so I'm hoping that I'll get them out on a regular basis up till Christmas, and then we'll see what the new year brings. So as I say, yeah, so I've been very, very busy August and September. I took a week off and went to Fashion Week in Milan because that's how I roll. And that was pretty awesome. We actually just booked it because we didn't realise it was Fashion Week. I'm not a fashionista, just in case you were wondering. But it was a happy coincidence that we were there then. And it was really interesting walking around Milan. We saw a lot of models. We really did. Every corner you turned, there were impossibly tall women in with impossibly thin bodies in impossibly beautiful clothing. So I'm not a model. I'm 5'2½", 5'2¾" on a good day. And genetics will say that I'll never be a stick thin model. But it was great to see all these clothes and shoes and just sort of be there and soak up the vibe of Fashion Week. So that was cool. But bookwise, you want to know what I've been doing bookwise, don't you? That's why you're listening to the Lesbian Book Club. Well, so You're My Kind came out in audio in September. So that is brilliant if you're an audiobook fan, which I assume you are because you're listening to this podcast. It's narrated by the wonderful Nicola Victoria Vincent. And she's a fantastic narrator. She's done a load of lesfic narration. She does all Carrie Hunter stuff and Jenny Frame stuff. So it's great to get her on board for one of my books. And I'm really pleased with the outcome. Also, I was getting Made in London done, as I said, and that is now at the door. So I'm grateful to you if you bought it, if you're planning on buying it. It only came out yesterday, so there hasn't been a lot of time. But if you do read it, leaving a review, I would be so thankful to you if you would leave a review. So if you do buy it, thank you. And if you leave a review, double thank you to you. I should also say, as well as publishing Made in London, I've also already commissioned the audio. I'm so ahead of the game on this one. So this is going to be recorded at the beginning of November. So who knows? That one could even be out before Christmas, which would be incredible to have it out so quickly after the ebook came out. So we'll watch this space. I've also signed an audiobook contract. I'm audiobook crazy this year. So I've signed an audiobook contract with Tantor Publishing for A Taste of Love. the Village Romance book that came out in July. So that should be shuffling its way to a release early next year. So from not thinking I was going to get that much audio done this year, I will now, by the end of this year, have every book I've written this year will be out in audio by at least early next year. So that's really good. That's a really good quick turnaround on my behalf. So, hey, I'm punching myself in the arm on your behalf. But it's not that long till Christmas, so I'm kicking myself a bit, I have to say, that I didn't write a Christmas book this year. Do you know, it's been 4 years since I wrote All I Want for Christmas, which is crazy. It doesn't seem like 4 years ago that I wrote that, because it still sells quite a lot every year. So I'm hoping if you're in the mood for a Christmas rom-com of the highest order, I think it was probably the book that I really went into thinking I want to make this funny, and I hope it worked. So All I Want for Christmas is my only festive novel, but I will be writing that wrong next year. So I'm planning on writing my Christmas book now, and then I will release it next year. So have no fear. Next year, there'll be a Christmas book from me. I'm still weighing up doing a Christmas short, but if you haven't read my Christmas short, It Had to Be You, go to my website at www.clairelydon.co.uk, sign up for my VIP Readers Club there, and you'll get a free Christmas novella. And what better time of year to read it than now? But for now, enough from me. Let's go on with the interviews with the wonderful Jen Matthews. So joining me today is UK author Jen Matthews, who is famed for her crochet skills. And if you follow her on the socials, she often showcases her impressive designs. Jen has published two novels to date, Hooked on You and The Word Shimmer. Inspired by life's lessons and experience, she's an passionate advocate of people on the fringe of society, and she hopes to explore and represent invisible people with her upcoming novels. She lives in England Southwest with her wife, dog and cat. Hello Jen, how are you today?
Hi, I'm good, thanks. How are you?
I'm very well, very well. It's been a lovely sunny day in London town, so I'm warmed by sunshine. So tell me a little bit about where you are and what you can see from where you're sitting.
I'm in the spare room at the moment. We lived in here for about 3 weeks because we had fitted wardrobes and various things done. We only bought our house last December. Mm-hmm. And it's massive. Like it's one of those things where you just like, I did not realise that we were going to manage to buy such a big house. It's a big townhouse in the middle of Weston-super-Mare. Right. And it's just huge. So I'm in the spare room, which sounds like it would be small. It's really not. It's massive. We've got room for like a king size bed and various furniture. So I'm sat in what we're kind of calling the burgundy room, because my wife is a big fan of burgundy and stags. So we've got a stag on the wall. We've got stag lamps from Sainsbury's because they're on offer, and stag bookmarks. So it's very staggy.
Well, there you go. I've never had anybody, talk to me from a stag pad before.
Yeah, and stag pad. Make a sign and put it on the door.
Are you reclining on the bed as well?
Oh yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Cool. So you're in Weston-super-Mare. I used to live in Bath, so I know it a little bit. I've been a couple of times.
I love Bath. It's lush. Weston, yeah. Not so great, but Bath is beautiful.
So, how would you describe your books to somebody who's never read one?
I guess they're easy reading, fluffy, kind of sweet, and yeah, I like the slow burn. I do like the slow burn. I don't particularly like writing about relationships. I like writing about chases.
Right.
So I like women working through problems and taking a while, and because I think, I mean, there's lots of different relationships out there, aren't there? I mean, there are people that get together after like 3 weeks, and there are people that spend a long time. And I think with the characters that I write, I think slow burn is much more realistic about it, kind of fits with the kind of characters that I write. So, yeah, fluffy, sweet and slow burn romances.
Okay. Right. Fluffy, sweet, slow burn. Good. You got your tagline. You got your tagline down there. So tell me a bit about you and your writing journey. Tell me a bit about your writing journey and how you got started.
Well, I've been writing since I was a kid. I remember writing kind of little stories, and there was this random story, I don't know how old I was, but I think I was primary school age, about this girl who kind of wanders into this cave and she's a bit depressed and she discovers these humpback whales. Don't ask, I don't know why, but it was all very ethereal and beautiful, and I remember it being like wonderful in my head. And then when I was 14, we got an assignment in English at school, mm-hmm. Which was, so I think it was like do a kind of a carry-on story about Lady Chatterley's lover. Right. And I wrote this thing where basically Lady Chatterley and the knight bloke, they kind of get together on the stone floor in the castle. Mm-hmm. And there was various conversations between my parents and my teacher. At the age of 14, shouldn't really be writing explicit stuff like that. but I became kind of popular at school suddenly because all the boys were like, oh my God, can I read your English? And I was like, yeah, sure. And luckily, the only problem my dad had was that I hadn't mentioned any safe sex.
Right.
You know, he's very concerned about, you know, you've got to think about your readers and, you know, you're promoting non-safe sex and you shouldn't be. That was the only issue he had. So, like, so since then, like, I haven't really been, I guess I've been kind of interested in relationships, and obviously it was a heterosexual situation then. Mm-hmm. And I wrote fanfic for a while. Well, a while. What is a while? A long time, from maybe being like 17, 18. And it was all Scully and Mulder, Scully and Mulder, Scully and Mulder. And then I realised I probably didn't like men and liked women. So it was then it was Scully and Reyes from the X-Files. And yeah, it's just kind of, I guess I did lots of fanfic, and I wrote a kind of YA book-ish, which is unedited, and the storyline's good, but the writing's not brilliant. And it is out there if anybody's ever interested. I think I've sold like 6 copies. It's called Porg, which is spelled P-U-O-R-G. There was that. And then I had a hiatus, I guess, of like not writing and kind of finding myself, and I didn't know what I wanted to do. I was at uni doing drama and then left uni and didn't want to ever do drama again. I thought maybe I'd do teaching, but I didn't want to do that. My parents both did it, but it's changed so much over the years. I didn't want to, yeah. And then I started working with the NHS and then kind of got back into it slightly and was writing a little bit more. And then I discovered Holby City. We started watching it because Heather Peace was in it. I won't lie. Heather Peace was in an episode. So we were like, oh, we have to watch it. So we watched it. And then became a bit enthralled by the whole Bernie and Serena thing, mm-hmm. and started writing fanfic about them. Mm-hmm. And got some good feedback off Archive of Our Own. And then thought one day, you know what, this idea that I've got in my head about two women meet over a crochet class, could that work ever? So, yeah, that's my journey, I guess.
So Heather Peace was instrumental in getting you back on the writing path.
Yeah, don't worry, she knows. I've tweeted her and she's replied. She's aware of that, as is Catherine Russell and presumably Gemma O'Grave, although she never replied. But yeah, they're all instrumental in my contracts and published works.
Yeah, so. Yeah. And have you written any other sort of sex scenes on a stone floor, or is that just your 14-year-old self?
Stone floors I haven't done again, mostly because of the logistics, and I would never want to do that because it's a stone floor. That's not an appropriate place to do stuff. I've done floors generally. So fanfics, I think Bernie and Serena, there was a scene where they go into a forest in America. Anybody that's read Major Wolf, where Bernie's a werewolf, don't even ask. It totally made sense at the time.
Okay.
But yeah, they go up and do forest sex.
Bernie and Serena, are they from, they're the characters in Holby?
They are, yeah.
Right. I haven't watched Holby for a very long time, so I didn't even actually know Heather Peace was in it. And then when I was on Diva Radio, which she hosts, and yeah. I was asking her what she was doing for the next couple of weeks, and she said that she was filming. And I said, oh, are you doing a music video? And she went, no, I'm doing Holby. I was like, wow, my mum and dad will know who you are.
Yeah. Yeah, she was in it in 2016 rather, and then she was in it playing the same character recently, like July, August, mm-hmm. I think.
Yeah. Cool. Let's talk about your latest book, which I read and very much enjoyed before this podcast. So that's called The Word Shimmer, and it's a romance between a teacher and student, but not typical because they're both in their 40s. So tell me a little bit about the idea behind it.
So my whole plan with writing is to write about people that aren't written about regularly. So, mm-hmm. you know, people with mental health conditions, people who are older than usual, what you usually see in lesbic, you know, people with disabilities, people who have difficulties in whatever they have, people with different nationalities, whatever. So I kind of, with the word shimmer, I started with this idea that I wanted somebody with dyslexia, because I'd never read a book about somebody with dyslexia. Mm-hmm. And as the story kind of came together, it was like, okay, well, these characters need to be older and they need to be sorted in every other aspect of their life. You know, they need to be sorted in their careers, they need to be sorted in their sort of family situations. And it actually didn't occur to me until I started writing, and until the daughters, Ruby's daughters, kind of bring it up at the beginning when she talks about Mel, the paramedic that she meets. It didn't occur to me that Mel was a student and Ruby was a teacher, because they're not related in any sense. They don't learn or teach each other. So it was kind of, okay, I want to do this dyslexia thing, and then the story kind of built around that, I guess.
And as you said in the beginning, you're a fan of super slow burn romance, and this is one of those. I was shouting at the pages a couple of times, like, come on, kiss already. Is that something that you like reading as well as writing?
Yeah, I like reading the chase as well sometimes. I think I'm a bit eclectic. I like romance, I like reading romance, although I have read other stuff. And I haven't read anything for a little while because I've been doing research for my next book. but yeah, I like the chase. I don't like people falling to bed immediately, unless it's then kind of, there's then problems afterwards and they kind of, you know, it was a mistake sort of thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I like the slow burn thing.
Yeah. And like you say, in your tagline, you said it was sweet. And that's what I think I took away from this book. The writing style was very sort of lilting. And I really like both the main characters, who quickly fell into a good sort of friendship and then eventually into romance. So you talked about shaping them. Were they based on one in particular, or is it just a mashup of all different people you meet, your characters? How would you say you develop them?
Something that I wasn't quite doing when I wrote the word shimmer, but I'm doing a lot now, is I have photos. So I find a photo off the internet, whatever, mm-hmm. and I use that photo to kind of remember what my character looks like, otherwise I forget because I haven't got a very good memory, or kind of because I can imagine people talking and how they talk and how they act and things quite vividly, I think, so that kind of turns into words on a page. So I wanted Mel to be this kind of strong, assertive, punchy character. She's a paramedic. My wife's a paramedic. I know what kind of people they tend to be. They're not all, obviously. But you've got to be really assertive and very confident and strong when you're out on the road on a truck dealing with whoever you need to deal with, which mm-hmm. can be some unsavory characters at times. So I wanted her to be really out and proud, and I wanted to have a character that was totally comfortable with who she was, apart from the dyslexia, because it's quite something quite new for her, and also she'd been in a relationship where it had been an issue. So Mel was quite formed originally before I even started writing. Ruby was slightly different, where she's a mum and she's a lecturer. I didn't quite have her as uptight as she turned out. I think it's a good thing that she turned out quite uptight, because it was a really good compliment to Mel's brashness and her assertiveness. But sometimes I know exactly how a character is going to be and they stay that way the whole book, and sometimes I don't really know, and I sort of, you know, I knew how tall she was and what colour her hair was and stuff, and I had a photo, but I wasn't really sure what Ruby was going to turn out like until I wrote her, so that was kind of cool.
Yeah, it's good. It's good to have a mix of ways to do it, isn't it?
Yeah.
And with the dyslexia, obviously, as you said, it is an issue that's dealt with in the book. Have you had a lot of response to that from readers?
Yeah, I've had a few reviews which have said that it's nice to see something like that described. And I think a few people have said I've done it in a sensitive way, which is really good, because I don't want to do it in a patronising way or a preachy way. Sometimes I think books, you can read a book and you're just like, well, that's just a load of facts that somebody's saying on mm-hmm. a page mm-hmm. about a condition. Whereas I think with the dyslexic aspect of the word shimmer, I'm hoping it kind of evolves so you kind of get the sense that something's wrong. The fact that she can't read properly or doesn't want to read and shies away from that. And obviously she has a laptop in class and various things like that. And she's got these special glasses, which are quite an amusing feature of the book, I think. But yeah, I wouldn't want it to be like, you know, Mel has dyslexia, this is because, and this is what happens, and blah, blah, blah. I'd want her to kind of, it to sort of evolve through the book and for the reader to find out.
Yes, no, I think you handled it and dealt with it very well, and I did learn things as well, so that's good, isn't it?
Oh, there you go.
Every day's a school day.
Yeah, definitely. I had a couple of people with dyslexia that I spoke to before I started writing, and they were really helpful. My friends Kerry and Sarah, they were really, really good. So
I say also the book is very relatable and realistic, which is always what readers say they want. So would you say that's your USP, or have you got a Hollywood romance burning in your future?
I think I'm good with the realistic stuff. I thought about doing a sort of sci-fi set on a spaceship at one point. To be fair, even that would have been quite realistic. I had this whole kind of notion of how they were going to power the ship via algae, like you do, you know. Did all this research into algae and stuff, and then it turned out it probably wasn't the best way for me to go. But the actual story was going to be quite realistic just by it being on a spaceship. I think I can write realism, and I think it works for me, and I enjoy writing it, so...
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to stick with that.
I think I enjoy writing more realistic, relatable as well. And I always toy with the idea of doing like a Hollywood romance. But then I just think, oh, I don't know. But maybe, who knows? Never say never.
So yeah, definitely.
This was your second book, The Difficult Sophomore Album, as people say. So, and after Hooked on You got such a great reception, did you feel pressure? Was it different writing your second book?
Well, I wrote the word shimmer literally like 5 months after getting the go-ahead for Hooked on You. So I had a whole year after writing the word shimmer before Hooked on You was out. So I didn't really feel that. I mean, I wrote it incredibly quickly. Like, I surprised myself. I do the thing where you write how many words you've done in a day and put the date and whatever.
Yeah.
And I literally wrote it in 40 days. It was quite scary.
Yeah.
But I wasn't really concerned with anything like that. It didn't occur to me to worry that maybe it was a second book and that would be difficult and whatever. Yeah, I think when it actually came out, I think it was a bit more kind of, oh God, you know, I hope it gets as good or at least an okay response from readers, because otherwise I'll be really sad.
Yeah. you talked about Hooked on You there, which is your debut novel, and it was based around a couple of characters who love crochet. Obviously you knew that subject inside out because it's a very clear pastime of yours and a bit of a side hustle as well, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah, how was that? That was well received, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think that was almost part of the invisible persons, because I've never read anything about somebody that crochets. When it's represented on TV and films, it's always this, oh, that's for an old lady to do. And actually my kind of start in crochet was because I was off, I have nerve damage in my face, and I had 3 months off work with it when I first got it, and basically my wife kicked me out the front door and said, you need to get out and do something that doesn't involve talking, because it's really uncomfortable for me to talk. So you're welcome, I'm here.
Oh, wow.
yeah, so the crochet was a big therapeutic thing. And yeah, it was nice to be able to kind of have Ollie, the character that predominantly does it and teaches it. It was nice to have her almost tell my story, because she's got a disability as well, and she had to learn something and do something with herself the months and months that she was off legs. So it was nice to be able to do that in a book and mm-hmm. have that story.
And as you said before, you tend to write older characters in your books. I mean, I say they're not like desperately old, 40s, 50s, but, you know, common perception in romance is sort of 20s, 30s. Is that something you're going to continue as well as your books go, as you go down the line with your books?
It was almost incidental. So obviously, like I said, with the word shimmer, those two characters that I wanted to tell the story about, they had to be a bit older because they needed to be in a stage of life where other stuff didn't matter almost. You know, they'd got everything sorted, you know, careers and family and everything. It's not really something I've intended to do. There was a big thing after the Holby City Barina, which is the Bernie Serena storyline, was going on, which was, isn't it nice to see two women in their 50s in love? And it was really nice, and you know, there was lots of stuff on social media about how wonderful it was. So I was just like, you know what, let's do it. Let's do these, you know, with Hooked on You, they're both in their 50s. With the word shimmer, they're both in their 40s, although it wasn't really a thing that I needed to do. I popped a little bit about menopause in there as well, because that's something that isn't spoken about all that much. But my future books probably aren't going to be older women. The next three certainly won't be. Maybe after that I might do some more. Who knows? I don't know.
Okay. And talking of your next project, so what is next for you? Have you got another book coming out soon?
I have. I've got one coming out in July. It's called Reasons to Heal, and it's about a physiotherapist and a newbie cop in Bristol who meet under interesting circumstances and end up doing stuff and then being friends and then having a relationship.
Right, okay. Any sex on stone floors?
No, they use a bed. Sorry to disappoint. Is that going to be a thing now?
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
14-year-old self.
And you said you've got your next three books, so have you got the next couple lined up as well?
Yeah, so Reasons to Heal is out in July. That's the next one. So I wrote a slightly darker book set on a mental health ward, which I've probably talked about on social media, and anybody that's been following me will be going, where's this book about the mental health ward? It was felt that it was a bit too dark. There's an attempted suicide in it, and we just wanted to kind of wait until I was a bit more established before doing anything with it. But it's written, the first draft is done. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that's going to be book five, maybe. Book four is called Sing for My Baby. It's not been written yet, but I've got the plot and I've got the characters and everything's set to go. So when I have a minute from editing book three, I'll start writing that one.
Okay.
But that's got a pregnant character and a character who's in Alcoholics Anonymous. So going on with the whole invisible people thing.
Yes, taking it one step further with the anonymity thing. Cool. Wow. You're making me very jealous of your organisation and everything. I was just.
Yeah, it's weird. I'm super organised when it comes to writing. Rest of my life, not so much.
You can only do it in one area of your life. You can't be organised everywhere. You know, it doesn't work like that. So, as you said, you're not a full-time writer. You have got a day job. So how do you fit your writing in around that? What's your process?
So I'm quite organized with my writing. I have to have at least 2 hours. If I'm writing sort of first draft stuff, I have to have 2 hours of time where I know I'm not going to be interrupted, and I have to kind of kick my wife out of the room and say, go somewhere else. Like, I can't be distracted. I can't have music on. I can't have the TV on. I can just about write with the dog on my feet. But literally, yeah, so whatever shift I'm doing, if I've got 2 hours on my own, I can sit down and write. But otherwise, I really struggle. But right. I do end up doing it. I end up finding time. So that's good.
And are you doing it like at weekends or in the weekdays?
It depends what I work. So because I work, I'm NHS, I'm a healthcare assistant. I work on a mental health rehab ward.
Right.
And we do early, late and nights. You know, it just depends on what day I've got off.
So. Yeah. So you haven't got a 9-to-5. Per se.
I do sometimes 9-to-5s, but not very often.
Yeah. So what's your favourite thing about writing and your least favourite?
I guess the actual writing is my favourite thing. Managing to get a story that starts in my head and evolves as I write. The occasional nice review, that's good.
Always nice.
Any bad things about writing. Maybe if I'm, oh no, I tell you what I don't like. You know, that first letter that you get from your content editor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I don't like that. I've now got a way of dealing with it, but that I always get upset for 2 days. It doesn't matter what it says. They could be perfectly nice and wonderful and critical and you know, productive and all that. But it just, those first 2 days after I get that letter, I don't like it. I now have a way of dealing with it, and it's fine. I know it's going to happen. So I just give myself 2 days of feeling crap, and then I come back to it and I'm like, right, fresh eyes. Yeah. Okay. I'm good now. It's all fine.
Yeah. I don't think anybody likes getting that first feedback, because it's invariably, it's invariably going to have things that you don't want to hear, even if they're correct.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and are you an avid reader of Lesfic?
I was for a bit. Like I said, I've been reading a lot of stuff for, pregnancy books mostly. Lots and lots of pregnancy books and lots of things from AA and stuff for my sort of fourth book. But usually, I think I'm in the middle of The Promise by Claire Hyten Stevenson, which I'm finding a bit struggling because it's very sad. So I've got to make sure I'm not going to work or at work if I've got a few minutes where I'm not doing anything and I'm not reading something that's going to make me cry, because that's not okay on a mental health ward.
No.
So yeah, I've put that off a little bit because I'm reading something like breastfeeding book or something, I don't know, at the moment, which is really interesting, actually. Very interesting stuff. Okay. All this stuff about babies.
Yeah, I was gonna say, Claire is the next guest on this podcast, so
oh, amazing.
I'll quiz her on the crying book. Maybe I should read it before I interviewed her.
Might be good. Yeah, like long before you interview her. Okay. So that you've got time to like process emotionally.
Okay, I'll do that. And have you had a best piece of writing advice you've been given?
Not directly. So my publisher, they put bits of advice like how to kind of submit books, I guess. And the one thing that I tend to tell people, other people, if people come to me and say, oh, you're an author, aren't you? Yes, I am, yes. I've got something that I want published. It's like, right, okay, how do I go about it? So I guess the biggest kind of tips that I could think of that other people have said, like, if you're going to submit something, make sure that the submission guidelines are fit with what you're submitting.
Mm-hmm.
Or don't write it yet and find some submission guidelines and write to those submission guidelines if you want to go non-indie, you know, if you want to go with a publisher, I guess. Otherwise, it's just a waste of time. Yeah, I think writing is a personal process. Everything after all the editing's done, after the release, I think it's kind of not to do with you, almost, whatever reviews you get and stuff. Because I got a couple of crappy reviews for Hooked on You, and I was just like, really? And I was really upset because I didn't ever have one before. You know, Archive of Our Own, you tend to get comments that are nice and wonderful and, oh my God, it was awesome and all this stuff. But obviously with like Goodreads, sometimes you get not great ones. So submit to guidelines and don't read reviews, maybe. Ever.
Well, that's a very difficult piece of advice to follow, isn't it? But yeah, don't take them personally. And it is one person's point of view, and they might be having a bad day themselves. So don't take it personally. Archive of Our Own, is that a fanfic thing?
Yeah, so I think it's the biggest one. They've just won some award thing. So effectively every fanfic writer on AO3 is an award winner, which is good.
Okay.
I can't remember what it's called. I should know. but yeah, it's just an archive of you can post fan art and fan fiction, and there's different categories that you can put them in, and
pretty much
every pairing is on there that you can think of ever.
Okay. I've still never read a piece of fan fiction because I'd never heard of it before I started writing, and now I know that there's a lot of writers who still write, you know, publish their own work or publish by a publisher, but still write fan fiction as well. So
I do that. Yeah, I'm still writing. I've got two pieces of fanfic that I'm still going.
Right.
They're both nearly finished. So I'm a bit like, do I write any more after that? Do I concentrate on original stuff? I don't know.
Interesting. So final question. If you could be the love child of any two writers, alive or dead, who would you choose and why?
That's such a weird question. I literally don't know. So do you mean like, get characteristics from either one, or do you mean like, I want this person to be my mum and I want this person to be my other parent?
It can be whatever you want it to be. So would you like to be the child of a particular author, or would you like their traits?
I literally don't know. I have no idea. I quite like, I follow Claire Ashton on social media, and I liked her book The Goodmans, which I read reasonably recently.
Yeah.
And she always seems like a fun, happy person to be around and be a mum of. So yeah. I don't know, maybe she, that would be a good one. I don't know. And then anyone cool, I suppose. To be fair, my parents are kind of cool. I like my parents.
Okay.
To be fair.
You're happy
neither
with your own.
Neither of them write, but I like my parents.
Yeah. And if you had to, you'd have Claire Ashton as the fill-in.
Yeah, she could be my third parent.
Yeah. Okay. Good choice. So finally, tell listeners where they can find out more about you, Jen.
I am on all social media in the world. Well, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, I'm on Instagram. I'm sort of on Snapchat, but I don't think I've ever posted anything, so don't worry about that. I also have a website, which is jenmatthews.com. I don't mind if people want to message me or whatever, that's cool.
Yeah, and if you want anything crocheted, Jen's your woman.
I am the woman, or there is, if I can't do it, I have a friend who makes amazing dolls. And I have a Bernie doll and a Serena doll in my house that she made me, which was very exciting. So if anybody ever wants dolls, she's the one to go to. Her name's cat, Kitty, I think.
Okay. Cool.
But yeah, she's very cool. I follow her on Twitter and she's amazing. And yeah, if anybody ever needs anything crocheted, I am your woman.
Okay. Lovely. Thanks so much for being here today. It's been great chatting.
You are very welcome.
That's the end of this Lesbian Book Club. So this is me, Claire Lydon, signing off. If you'd like to know anything more about me and my books, head on over to my website at www.clairelydon.co.uk. And you can find out all about my books or sign up for my VIP Readers Club and get a free lesbian romance novella, It Had to Be You. If you'd like to find out about any of my books or audiobooks, head on over to my website or find me on any of the digital retailers, Kindle, Kobo, Apple, Barnes & Noble, Bella Books, and anywhere good books and audiobooks are sold. Thanks to Denise at the Lesbian Lounge for hosting and producing this podcast. It's much appreciated. Join me next time for more Lesbian Book Club action, where I'll be interviewing UK author Claire Hyten Stevenson. See you then.